The first Friday of most months features the return of our First Friday Art segment. We invite arts organizations and just folks from around the region to call and tell the world, okay, our part of the world, about events in the performing and visual arts in the weeks ahead. We'll feature an interview about the Rising Stars competition in the Rogue Valley. But first, the phone number, 800-838-3760. That's for all those events on stages and walls coming up. 800-838-3760 to contact our First Friday Arts segment here on the Jefferson Exchange. And I want to go first to Portia Schiller to talk about the Rising Stars competition we had promised. Portia Schiller is the Marketing and Events Director at South Stage Sellers, which put this whole thing together. How many years ago now, Portia?
It's going into the fourth year.
All right. Give us a little bit of the history, how this all got started in the first place.
Absolutely. So thank you so much, Jeff and JPR, for having me on. So when I started doing the events at South Stage Sellers, I was amazed at the level of high performance of the local musicians. So in talking to some of these musicians, I found out that they were not booked in many places, and I said, what could I do to showcase the local musician and then marry it with a nonprofit? And that's how Rising Stars, South Street Sellers Rising Stars, was born, and it has been growing and growing to the point that we actually have to move it out of the tasting room now.
Move it out of the tasting room.
Exactly. It started at South Stage Sellers. It started at South Stage Sellers tasting room, and it's just gotten so large. The town has participated in it. The sponsors has been amazing. This year, a little different. It was in the past popular vote, and now we do have judges this year: Laura Houston from the Mail Tribune, John Brennis from Musicoop, Donna Briggs, obviously the president and the CEO from Brit Festival, Jeff Pivar, Gret Frederick. So it's going to be real interesting this year, a little bit different.
I recognize the names Jeff Pivar and Greg Frederick, and anybody who knows Rogue Valley music will, too. Those are well-traveled musicians,
yes,
Jeff
they are.
On guitar and Greg on bass. And so you got some pretty good talent, reviewing the talent coming through the Rising Stars competition.
Yes, and the first thing that we are asking everyone to do is send in their link or drop off a CD at South Stage Sellers or go on our website and you'll find out a lot of information, southstagesellers.com, and get as many people in to the competition. And the most important thing this year, we select a different nonprofit each year. It has to be local. It has to be very heartfelt. Something that we could all see. And this year it's LifeArt. LifeArt is amazing. It was developed by Phil Ortega, and it's to do with children, teens who have a safe outlet where they could be creative, who are struggling with bullying, grief, depression, and the very extreme thinking of suicide.
We have actually had a chance to talk to the folks at LifeArt, and it's a really interesting program, and we hope to have them on again sometime. I also want to let people know, if they're wondering about the quality of the people who come out of the Rising Stars competition, here's a little bit of CeCe James, who is the Rising Stars winner for 2014, as we talk about what's coming up in 2015. So here's a little bit of CeCe James singing I Got a Right to Sing the Blues from our studios from last August.
Got a right to sing the blues. I got a right, yes I do, to sing the blues. Son of a bitch, child, I done paid my...
That again, CeCe James, the winner of the Rising Stars competition for 2014. We're talking to Portia Schiller about Rising Stars for 2015. This is our First Friday Art segment. We will get to your calls in just a moment. So, Portia, I mean, is there a limit to the number of people you can take, or what are the qualifications that people have to present just to be able to be included?
Actually, there is the limit will be 12 semifinalists. We do have a panel this year, and we do have a board this year, and they are going to edit and decide on the 12 finalists. The four actual finalists are playing on the main stage of the Brit on March 28th. That's where the finals will be. Up until then, it will be in Redmond Hall. Anyone, any genre could enter, anybody between 1 and 4 people.
So the main stage thing at the Brit, March 28th, is a little early in the season. Is that actually going to be with people sitting out in the audience, or is this where the audience is on stage with the performers?
Audience on stage is with the performers, and a ton of high-profile publicity. from so many people. Southern Oregon Magazine is going to be contributing a full page. Mail Tribune has been writing about all the artists that will be involved in the past and even more so in the future, meeting the 2015 competition. And Blackstone Audio will be stepping in, and cash prizes. So it gives a tremendous amount of exposure, not only to the actual winner, but all the people who are participating in the semifinals.
And the website, again, to find out information about the Rising Stars competition?
Is SouthStageSellers.com.
Yeah, it makes it pretty easy. Portia Schiller is the Marketing and Events Director at SouthStage Sellers. Thanks for talking to us about Rising Stars here on our First Friday Arts segment, Portia.
Thank you so much. I so appreciate it, Jeff.
All right,
appreciate
take care. Again, this is our First Friday Arts segment. Let us know about arts events coming to your neck of the woods. 800-838-3760. 800-838-3760. Let's go to Eric from the Criterion Theater in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on First Friday.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
I'm just calling in to let everybody know that this Saturday, we have the Rogue Valley Symphony playing at the Criterion, and next Saturday, we'll welcome the Youth Symphony of Southern Oregon, so a lot of great classical music playing in the Valley these weekends, multiple locations on both of those, for both of those artists. And then on the weekend of November 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, we will be officially, unofficially, kicking off the holidays when we open the Criterion Theater for the Gingerbread Jubilee Community Tour. We will have dozens of gingerbread houses on display. There'll be music and snacks, and the proceeds go to help fund the operation of the theater. Admission is $3, and the doors will be open from 10 to 6 p.m. And if you need any details, you can get them at criterion.org.
Gingerbread Jubilee. I'm going to assume there are some gingerbread houses as part of this.
Yeah, we'll have dozens of houses. We have different classes. We have a student section. We have full-blown houses where we have some great local bakers that put together houses. These aren't, made of cookies, and, they're tremendous. We've got dragons in the past. We've had a hobbit shire in the past. We've had really, really wonderful displays of art using all edible goods. And it's a really kind of a fun tour to come in, and the place smells wonderful, cinnamon and sugar. So it's kind of a fun thing to do, kick off the holiday spirit.
And that's November 22nd through 24th at the Criterion?
That's right.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us, Eric. Appreciate that. Let's go to Livia from the Camelot Theater in Talent. Welcome to our First Friday Arts segment.
Oh, thank you so much, Jeffrey. Three quick things. This is closing weekend for The Lion in Winter, which has been described as Game of Thrones meets reality TV. Most people think of it as a drama. It's actually listed as a comedy. It's very funny. We have also added music and dance to it, so it's a pretty fascinating production. And as I said, we close Sunday on that. And then we have Spotlight on Irving Berlin, which runs November 13th through the 23rd, and our spotlights are a little biography and a lot of music. And I don't know how many people realize Irving Berlin, because we're doing Fiddler on the Roof at Christmas. Irving Berlin was one of those Russian, Jewish Russian immigrants who came in right about the time they left Russia. He came to America, grew up in the slums in New York City, and from his first famous piece of music in 1911 with Alexander's Ragtime Band, through White Christmas, he was one of a number of Jewish composers who wrote incredible Christmas music for us. But he just had a fascinating life, and some of the songs I know are my favorites. A Pretty Girl is Like a Melody, Blue Skies, How Deep is the Ocean, Easter Parade, Dancing Cheek to Cheek. And during the 40s, he wrote a show that became a movie, This is the Army. And he raised over $10 million between the show and the movie and donated it all to the United States.
Wow. I remember reading something recently about some Russian Jew who thought, I really want to write music, really good American music like that guy Irving Berlin, only to find out that he, too, was a Russian Jew.
Yeah, I can't remember the other ones, of course, only had one cup of coffee, but there were a number of them who wrote us beautiful Christmas songs. And then I want to mention really quickly, because next First Friday is December 5th, we start previews for Fiddler on the Roof December 3rd, and that very first performance is a benefit for Habitat for Humanity. So you can always reach us at 541-535-5250 or at CamelotTheater.org. But we never close down. We run 12 months out of the year, and there's always Broadway quality in an intimate setting. So people should see what they've been missing.
Lights are on at the Camelot. Livia, always good to talk to you. Take care. This is our first Friday art segment on The Exchange. Join us with arts events from your town at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760. We're talking now to Denise at Art Inspires Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on First Friday.
Thanks, Jeffrey. Thanks for inviting me. I wanted to share with your audience the third annual Art Inspires Ashland event, which is held by the Ashland Art Center. And this is where we bring three extraordinary artists in from outside of our area to teach workshops and give inspirational presentations. So the culmination of their visit with us will take place on Friday, November 14th at the Ashland Springs Hotel. This is where all three of our guest artists come together to give their inspirational TED-style talks. So the question is, why do we go through all of this effort to create an inspiring event? If you were to look at the definition of inspiration, you would see that it's the process of being stimulated mentally or to do something creative. It also means to draw in breath or inhale. And basically, at the Ashland Art Center, we believe that everyone needs to be inspired. Somewhere within each of us, we want to achieve great things in our lives. We all have that as part of our DNA. So seeing an inspirational work or listening to an inspirational speaker can assure us that it is possible to achieve something special and meaningful and that we too should go after our dreams. Our three guests, Natalie Fletcher, Dan Thompson, and Jean Casacito, are extraordinary leaders in their field, and they have the ability to inspire. And we're inviting everyone to join us at the Ashland Springs Hotel on Friday, November 14th. To feel their inspiration.
Okay, Art Inspires Ashland. Thanks so much for that, Denise. Good to talk to you. Let's go to Louisa at Mecca. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange and our first Friday art segment.
Hi, Jeffrey. Thanks for inviting me. Sure. I'm calling from Mecca, Eugene, Oregon. Tonight we have our opening reception for Michael Cross. He is a very talented artist from the Pleasant Hill area. And we have his charcoal drawings, and I really can't speak to the volumes of how wonderful they are, but they're going to be in our gallery all of November. And that's, again, tonight is your opening reception, 5:30 to 7:30. We're located at 449 Willamette Street. And for those of you who know the Eugene area, that's behind the Electric Station Restaurant, as well as starting, I believe, December 5th for our art walk. We're actually on the Lane Arts Art Walk. We'll be having a jewelry bazaar as a group show, and so we're really excited about both of those.
Sounds great. So again, Mecca is at 449 Willamette Street, pretty close to the Oregon Electric Station and therefore the Amtrak Station as well.
Absolutely, to the right of the Amtrak Station.
Okay, always good to talk to folks from Eugene, from Mecca in particular. Louisa, best of luck with your event coming up. Let's go to Scott in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange and our first Friday art segment.
Well, thank you so much, Jeffrey. Thanks for the email invite about our event tonight in Eugene. I represent the Latin America Solidarity Committee, LASC, formerly known as CISCAP for many years, but we're still doing the same work, trying to change U.S. policy towards Latin America, turn it around 180 degrees. And to that end, we are working to raise money to send folks to the national protest of the School of the Americas, the U.S. training facility for Latin American military officers in Fort Benning, Georgia. And to do that, we're having a wonderful benefit concert tonight in Eugene. That's tonight, Friday. Starting at 7 o'clock, we're going to have Tom Rawson, who is a singer-songwriter, come down from Washington State now for 11 years to do this annual Close the SOA benefit concert. He's a wonderful singer-songwriter. He's a great, if you're into sing-alongs, this is the man you want to get together with, because he is wonderful at just bringing out the best in all of us and singing together some songs to raise a bit of hope. So that's at 7 o'clock tonight. We're going to have the Eugene Peace Choir open up for Tom, and that's going to be at the Wellsprings Friends School, which is over on West 18th Avenue. It's 3590 West 18th, so not quite to Churchill High School. If you go to Churchill High School, you've gone too far. Turn back around on West 18th, and you'll find us there.
Okay, so the Tom Rawson and the Eugene Peace Choir. The Eugene Peace Choir comes first, and then the sing-along with Tom Rawson after that?
Exactly, yeah. He'll do a couple of sets. And the Eugene Peace Choir, which is both groups have graciously donated their time and their talents to this event, so that all the money that we raise will help to go to close the School of the Americas.
And how long have the benefits been going on, Scott?
This is our 11th annual. We've been doing these in either late October or early November, kind of gearing up for that national, well, really international protest that happens every year at Fort Benning, Georgia, which is home to the SOA, to help raise funds to send local activists to sort of send a part of Oregon, send a part of the Eugene area to these national, really international gatherings at the gates of the SOA.
Any particular movement in closing the School of the Americas?
Well, it's a long haul, but we feel like this is where we've got to be. It is it's a glaring example of U.S. Intervention in Latin America, and there's been so many graduates out of the SOA that have been tied to human rights violations that it is time to close it down.
All right. Thanks for calling. So the benefit concert again tonight at 7 in Eugene for the Latin American Solidarity Committee, or LASC. Thanks for calling in, Scott. Appreciate it. And this is the Jefferson Exchange, our first Friday art segment on the Exchange. You still have a chance to call in with events from your town, 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760. But I can also tell you that our roving arts and first Friday specialist, Bob Davey, focuses on the Oregon Shakespeare Festival history this month. The OSF season just completed would have been its milestone 80th if there had not been a pause for a few years for World War II. Bob Davey caught up with Oregon Shakespeare Festival's recently retired executive director, Paul Nicholson, to talk about OSF through the years.
What were the key factors that caused OSF to grow and from attendance at 500 80 years ago to 120,000 this in the 80th year this year?
And just to clarify, the 120,000 that you mentioned, that's the actual number of people who are here. But each person sees typically 3 to 4 plays, so the attendance is about 400,000. The factors that have led to the growth and the development of the company, I think the first and probably the most important one is always a commitment to quality. We've always been right at the vanguard of in terms of quality of work on stage. That's still something we're deeply committed to. I think the second is the what's called the repertory, so that even from the very first performances, people going to the plays could have a choice of 2 different plays. Now, if somebody came in the summer, they could see as many as 9 different plays scattered through the three theaters. And then I think the third element is what we call company, and that is where we use the same group of actors to provide to be in different shows. And so the audience, when they come, can see actors in maybe an actor playing Hamlet one night, playing in essence a spare carrier in a different performance, a different production. So, and then the fourth factor is what I call longevity. We've had a remarkable ability to retain people, both in the acting company. We've got people that have been there for 25 and 30 years, and in the production side of things, at administration, the people who know each other and can work together. There's a shorthand, and I think an ongoing commitment to quality.
What changes have occurred at OSF during your tenure there?
Well, I started in the festival in 1980. At that stage, our budget was about $2.3 million, and we had 3 equity actors. Those are the professional actors, a lot of non-professional actors. But if we go beyond the numbers, I think one of the big changes has been that when I first started, actors and production people and even administrators were there for just 2 or 3 years, and then they went off to work in what we say a real theater. And over the years, we've increasingly become a real theater. So this has meant that actors, instead of being only with us, or production people, for 2 or 3 years, they're with us for 20 or 30 years. So the average age of the company has grown dramatically, and therefore the capabilities of the company to bring emotion and quality into the shows has changed. Other changes, big changes, I think the one of the most important changes that happened in my tenure was the signing of the contract with Actors Equity. So instead of being 3 or 4 actors, guest artists, back in the early 80s, we now have 80 or 90 actors who are members of Actors Equity. And that brings a level of quality that we never were able to accomplish back then. Another element is the enclosing of the outdoor theater. Noise outside became more and more of a problem, and we needed to make sure that we could provide the best support for the actors and for the audience. And so putting the pavilion in the outdoor theater was really important in containing that sound. And, of course, we also built the new theater, what we now call the Thomas Theater, which gave us a state-of-the-art, a contemporary state-of-the-art theater that could be changed in various ways, both from an audience perspective and a staging perspective, with each of the three plays that we put in there.
That's retired Oregon Shakespeare Festival Executive Director Paul Nicholson talking to JPR Arts volunteer Bob Davey. Nicholson says OSF is pretty much maxed out and can't hold many more people in the existing theaters, but for the future he sees more plays that originate at OSF being seen in other cities, as with All the Way, which debuted at Shakespeare, moved to Broadway, and ultimately won a Tony Award just this past spring. And of course, this season, its successor showed on stage at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival as well. A few more tidbits to get in before we run out of time here in our first Friday art segment. Ziggy Marley is playing at the Cascade Theater in Reading tonight at 7:30. Tickets available through the Cascade Theater box office. Also available through the Cascade Theater box office, tickets for the North State Bel Canto Singers playing a benefit concert tomorrow at the Red Lion in Reading. Also coming up in Reading, the Children Helping Children Art Walk between, the kickoff is Saturday, November 8th at the Brewcraft Coffee on Yuba Street in Reading. It'll feature galleries, or rather artwork, from K-12 school children. And there'll be door prizes every hour on kickoff day, which again is tomorrow, Saturday, 11 to 3 at Brewcraft Coffee on Yuba Street in Reading. Let's see, there's also at Liberty Arts Gallery in Wairika, Women Who Know Alaska, the current show at the Liberty Gallery, on exhibit through November 29th, featuring artists Eloise Larson, Mary Beth Michaels, Linda Payne, and Robbie Mohat. Commiserated for a combination of 100 years plus as wives, mothers, teachers in the extremes of Fairbanks, Alaska. That's at the Liberty Arts Gallery on Minor Street in Wairika. Also can tell you Dancing with the Rogue Valley Stars. Two performances tomorrow at North Medford High School, 2 o'clock and 7 o'clock. All benefits for the Sparrows program. I'll be there as one of the co-MCs. Thanks for listening to our first Friday Arts segment. Brief break and then back with Garrison Keillor.